Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Mfundisi, Mijani. Good to have you. I hope that you are having a good Friday.
I am having a great Friday and looking forward to the arrival of the Sabbath hours.
Oh, yes, I'm definitely also looking forward to that. Well, today we're having our final installment on this fantastic subject. We're talking about baptism. And, you know, baptism is actually simply an outward expression of a Christian's faith. Now, Christ's example of baptism demonstrated his dedication to his Father in heaven, as you said yesterday. And the Christians show their dedication to God through the, you know, biblical practice of baptism. Now, I want to check further than that, Pastor. What is the role and what would be the role of baptism in a Christian's life? Does a Christian need to be baptized in order to be saved?
We would conclude that there is baptism, it's a requirement as people are being saved.
Okay.
But one direct question or answer to that one will be, when we read John 3, the Gospel of John 3, Jesus is having a conversation with Nicodemus. And he phrases it as, unless a man is born again by water and spirit, they shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, that rebirth, like we reflected earlier, will be, it's an inward thing.
Yeah.
And that it's what would constitute belief, turning away from our wickedness and asking God for forgiveness, just harmonizing with the Spirit of God. We have come to believe that what Jesus was already teaching there, what teaching Nicodemus, was baptism. He says, born of the water and of the Spirit. And with both elements depicting a new birth in a life of a Christian. Now, if we are correct that that text is specifically speaking to the components and the spirit of baptism, we would then say Christ said, unless one is, they cannot see the kingdom of heaven.
Yo, that's rather very serious because, I mean, there are people who may, I mean, for instance, the criminal of the cross, he didn't see the waters of baptism, for instance. And I suppose many such people would meet Christ literally on their deathbed. And and others, maybe not necessarily on the deathbed, but, you know, but they would meet Christ. And between then and the next baptism, they were not there. They simply just perished. Are we saying that these people will not inherit the kingdom of heaven?
We cannot say that, because the same Christ who speaks to Nicodemus and says, unless you will not, he is the one who promised paradise to the sinner on the cross. And we all know and agree that the sinner didn't come down for baptism.
Mm-hmm.
He perished at the cross right then. And so it's very reasonable for us to understand from that people who haven't had a chance to be baptized, to express their inward experiences with the Holy Spirit, if they don't get a chance to be baptized by water or to express that experience they have, they may not see the kingdom of heaven. Evidence would militate against that from the example of the sinner in the cross. And in our lived out experiences here, we have seen people who believe, not because they are dying, not because they are desperate, but then shortly after they have accepted the Lord as Lord and Savior,
yeah,
they something tragic happens and they die soon after that. There are some, yes, as you'd say, who will meet the Lord because we are reaching out to them in hospitals or in homes. Until a person has breath, their last breath, they should be the field for our missions to save people.
Yeah.
And we might just speak to somebody in a situation like that who will not have a chance for baptism.
Mm.
And we need to have, therefore, have confidence that the God of grace will treat such a case the way he treated the case of the sinner on the cross.
Mm, okay. Quite interesting. And I think at least it gives some hope because, I mean, one would say, ah, you know what? I'm in my deathbed already, so what's the point? And but they end up not even accepting it because they know that even if I do, I will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So, ah, it's pointless anyways. And so they just prefer to die on the cross. But I do, you know, I'm happy that you're saying, well, we leave everything to the Father because he's the one who will then decide the fate of everyone. And we have an example, as you state, you know, that the criminal of the on the cross, of course, was promised, you know, glory, you know, after death at that time. So I think it's quite encouraging to hear that. Now, there are instances where, you know, one is baptized and live a good, great life, and you know, everything is going fantastic, and by some unfortunate you know, circumstances, they fall into sin. And we see that many of these would then be re-baptized. Perhaps a person has gotten pregnant, somebody has gotten into a corruption case, etc. What are the circumstances surrounding one needing to be re-baptized? Or is it even a thing, actually, to be re-baptized? Should one be reborn again?
I think in one of our reflections in the past 2 days was that there are, the church has to be organized. The group of believers need to be organized if they want to work as a unit.
Mm-hmm.
And when that happens, the organization that is, then they need to be certain things that are put in place for them to look at issues not only as they arise, but to anticipate challenges in the work and put either biblical position where the Bible is silent, put policy guidelines in place.
Mm.
So I have seen that in some, I don't want to not name denominations here, but one denomination, if you fall from grace, as they would call it, they would excommunicate you.
Okay.
They would actually, you will not be allowed even to be part of the fellowship.
Mm-hmm.
Another one, quite different in texture, another denomination, would actually even forbid their members to talk to a fallen member who had been baptized. That's how far they go. If any of the members in regular standing are found to be befriending the fallen individual, they are subject to discipline themselves.
Wow.
And these are people, whenever there is a possibility of excommunication, which would mean expelling from church, it would mean the only way back must be through the same rites or rituals that needs to be done for them to regain membership. Now, here is this one denomination that I live close to. When they discipline their members, they would have two options: suspension or removal from membership.
Mm-hmm.
But that removal from membership does not remove the individual from fellowship.
Okay.
Now, at the time of the fallen individual, if I may use that phrase, mm-hmm. needing to regain membership, the original requirements for membership in their practice is that they should learn, learn the new ways of living in the spirit, and go back then, and their life must evidence that the cause for which they were removed from membership has been cured in the Christian growth by this individual. And then to be readmitted to membership, it's gonna be by baptism.
So so effectively, because I'm looking at the church in the time when Paul and them were leaders of the church, and the many other leaders of the church, we don't get the issue of rebaptism there. Was it deliberate? Because it seems that we don't have a biblical precedence for that.
I think we actually do have a case of rebaptism, except that it will not be speaking to what we are talking about.
Okay.
When the people were told to be now baptized in the Spirit, to be baptized now that they've received the Holy Ghost. And then in that instance.
Oh, no, I was saying that in our context where somebody has just fallen into sin and it doesn't seem that we do have a precedence for that.
No, we do not.
From the early church.
We do not, not in the early church to our knowledge. One is not even aware of it from church history, and I'm not referring to denominational history, but just the history of the church in the beginning,
in general. So effectively, the issue would just be an issue of, shall I say, maybe organizational, order, as it were.
This is how I understand it.
I see.
It's an administrative position that the church would have taken.
Ah, I see. Now, I'm now remembering, the Ethiopian eunuch, who, after he had been explained to and have read and understood, he says, "Well, now that I have understood what is standing behind before me, yea, is the water. You are also here, Philip. So let's go for it." And of course, we know how the story ends there. But what happens when the baptism, in the same manner, is that desired, but there are challenges in the way that is, there's no baptismal place or even an ordained minister to administer this baptism. What then?
Challenges. Let's say there is no water, and Philip had water there. If we as a congregation recall that, as a church rather, the body of Christ, if we recall that we have an instruction to baptize and to teach, if we meet practical problems that makes it impossible for us to complete, or makes it difficult for us to complete that mission, baptize and teach, teaching components, we then would need to look for ways to make that possible.
Okay.
And for, let's say you do not have an ordained minister available, but there is a minister who is still an intern or is just not yet ordained. So what we're running out of here is the Baptist. I think our denomination has taken a good, great step to make sure that that does not lead to the individuals not being able to be baptized.
Mm-hmm.
So an unordained pastor can have a quick chat if he's around with the regional leader of the church, and they be authorized to conduct that specific baptism.
Mm-hmm.
This would include the church elders. One quick call either by the pastor who's unable to go and do the baptism.
Mm-hmm.
He talks with the president, and the president will authorize one of the local elders there to do the baptism.
To baptize.
For me, this For me, this indicates the church's commitment to do all that is possible for people who need to be baptized to can be baptized.
I actually, like what you're saying, because when I go through Matthew 18, go ye therefore, our mission, teach them and baptize them. It doesn't seem to be too concerned about ordination, etc. It is concerned about people being taught and then being baptized, and it does not talk about the Baptists being ordained ministers, as it were. And I like that you're saying that if the absence of one, the organization is able to make arrangements that this person should not meet their death before they are baptized, because we're still waiting for an ordained minister to come and do that. I think but that's quite progressive, actually. But it's great to hear that. Now,
a quick story in my own experience.
Okay.
My parents became Adventist, where my dad was a pastor in another church.
Right, right.
But when he studied the Bible via VOP, the family and my father would teach that his congregation what he was learning, and a good number of them, together with my parents and my siblings, they believed and started practicing what the Bible was teaching. But it took more than 7 years before the church that is running the VOP could send a minister to come and organize these new believers and baptize them. That took forever. But we thank God it did take place. So there can be limitation. We shouldn't make policies that limits the practicality of doing the Great Commission that includes baptism. As we must look for all possible solutions as soon as possible also.
I like that. I like that because, Philip didn't have to say, oops, I'm not ordained, but let's see if we can get to Jerusalem and get someone for you, etc., and making this whole thing complex, while it is simply an issue of reaching out to Christ, and Christ, of course, wanting us to reach to him. Now, let's conclude, my pastor. We see the prophetess here writing, no one should be buried with Christ by baptism unless they're critically examined whether they have ceased to sin. Quite a very bold statement there from the prophetess. Now, is it our duty to examine another's life and at times bar people from baptism when we deem them, to be sinners?
I do not know the surrounding paragraphs of that text. In other words, its context.
Yeah, yeah.
But with regards to the question that you have posed, I would think that statement might be speaking to the question of rebaptism, but I'm not certain.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But where we have, let's say somebody has lost membership because they've had a moral fall in a specific moral issue.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
When they ask for rebaptism, that question need to be asked. Is this thing that led you to lose your membership still an issue, or have you overcome? In an ideal situation, there is an imperative that says that the church, at the time of exercising its right to discipline members, they must also assign people who will find ways to strengthen the fallen brother or sister and help them to regain their power of grace and victory in their life. So by the time there is a request for baptism, there are already witnesses who have done the journey with this gentleman. It's only where we have neglected, and I know I'm talking in terms of rebaptism, it's only when we have neglected the fallen individuals that we need to do investigations. But even when we get to that point, a simple question to ask the individual, have you overcome? And if they say yes, for me, that is sufficient. And you want to be baptized? Yes. And we go right in with the baptismal service and celebrate the victory with the individual. If, and we don't have to be detectives and do research. We just need to be caring enough to can make that inquiry.
I love that. I love that. Well, Pastor, I must thank you so much for coming through and really giving us these beautiful gems that you've dropped this afternoon. Thank you so much. I do hope that our listeners also have enjoyed, you know, every bit of information that you dropped with us this week. And as always here on AWR, we do appreciate your time. And of course, I want to pray that the Lord adds an immense blessing where you have taken. A blessed Sabbath to you, Pastor.
Thank you. Likewise to you and your listeners.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.